the most auspicious place, Shimayapur Dham, the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, in the most auspicious month of Kartik, on the most auspicious day of Sri Rama Ekadasi. Apart from all the other auspiciousness associated with Sri Rama Ekadasi, the date has special significance for us because it is the date on which Srila Prabhupada completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita at Hare Krishna Land in Juhu, Bombay. And by his mercy, I happened to be in service in Juhu then, and I can relate a small incident that took place early in the morning. Srila Prabhupada would generally go for his walk at about 6 in the morning on Juhu Beach, and we would meet him when he came down from his quarters and accompany him on his walk. But this morning, we waited, but he didn't come down. So a few of us climbed up the stairs to the second floor where he had his quarters. Second floor in India, third floor in America. And the door was locked, which was very unusual. The door up there was never locked. Anyway, we knocked on the door, and Srila Prabhupada's secretary opened the door a little, and he said that Srila Prabhupada had stayed up all night and that he had completed the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that at the end he had dictated the most wonderful glorification of his spiritual master. And afterwards, Srila Prabhupada felt very satisfied and blissful, and he said we should all celebrate by having a feast. Of course, that would have been just before the sunrise, that would have marked the beginning of Dvadasi, so that feast would have been held on the Dvadasi. So I thought to read Srila Prabhupada's concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita because they express a lot of what was in his heart and they give us a lot of instruction that we can apply in our own devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So you read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, concluding words. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya Era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi. We have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend, although according to material vision, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by Vani and by Vapu. Vani means words, and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. But Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago, and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. So I've read only the first paragraph, and I'll proceed to read the subsequent paragraphs. But here in the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada introduces two points that are themes of the entire concluding words. The first is the order of his spiritual master. He says that he has completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the order of his spiritual master. And the second is that by following the order of the spiritual master, by following the words of the spiritual master, we associate with the spiritual master. And how we associate with him through Vani is explained in more detail by Srila Prabhupada. And this is an important instruction for all of us. In the case of those of us whose spiritual master is still present on the planet, we still face the same situation, that we cannot always be in his physical presence. Srila Prabhupada actually wrote in one letter that he wished that he could be present with all of his disciples and personally train them. But because he had to travel and preach, and because we also had to stay in different places and serve and preach, he was unable to do so. So there is no doubt that the personal association of the spiritual master, the personal association of advanced devotees, is highly beneficial. And that's why we come together in holy places where saintly persons reside or where saintly persons spend time so that we can have their association. In fact, the Bhagavatam suggests that the real benefit of visiting a holy place comes not from taking bath in the sacred rivers, which of course is also recommended and beneficial, but the real benefit comes from associating with the saintly persons in the holy place and hearing from them. Our main association comes from hearing. And therefore, we have gathered here today. And devotees who stay in Mayapur and serve here, they create the facility for us to come and associate like this. But still, the personal association is not always available. And in the absence of the physical presence of the spiritual master, we have the instructions of the spiritual master, which the disciple takes as his life and soul. Srila Prabhupada continues, "In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, sometime in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Sridhar Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Math. He was sitting in a house at Ultadanga when, through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Malik, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement, and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries, because at that time I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's. I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach, but I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. So here, Srila Prabhupada describes in brief his first meeting with his spiritual master. He described the occasion at other times. He mentioned that he was the leader amongst his circle of friends, and that they wanted him to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to give his opinion of him, because they considered Srila Prabhupada, then Abhai Charan, to be their leader, and they wanted his verdict. Srila Prabhupada remarks that many sadhus used to visit his home. His father was very fond of receiving sadhus and serving them. And he would pray to them to bless his son, Abhai, to become a good devotee, a servant of Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada has remarked that his father was a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and that he imbibed from him the ideas that were later solidified by his spiritual master, the Eternal Father. But still, Srila Prabhupada said he was not very satisfied with these sadhus. There was a place nearby where many so-called sadhus used to spend the night. And Srila Prabhupada perceived that they were basically just ordinary people who assumed the guise of sadhus to collect money, but that actually they were just ordinary people spending the money on eating and sleeping. So when he heard that some sadhu has come to Ultadanga, he thought he may be that type of sadhu that he didn't much appreciate. So he resisted the idea. But his friend, Narendranath Malik, prevailed upon him. And finally, Srila Prabhupada agreed. So they went to Ultadanga, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting on a raised platform. All of his disciples were sitting down. Srila Prabhupada didn't really know the etiquette, so he also sat up on the same level as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Only later did he realize that everyone else was sitting down and he also should sit down or should have sat down. But in any case, the first thing Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to him was, "You are an educated young man. You should preach the gospel of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world in the English language." Can you imagine? He was just married. He already had a small child. He wasn't very convinced about sadhus in general from the ones that he met. And straight away, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, "You are an educated young man. You should preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English all over the world." Srila Prabhupada replied that India is under foreign rule, because he was in that mood of Mahatma Gandhi. Said India is under the domination of foreign rule. Even uncivilized countries have gained political independence, and India is still under foreign rule. So who will listen to our message? First, we have to gain political independence. Then people will listen to us. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied that political dependence and independence are dualities of the material world. But the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is needed by humanity now. And it is descending from the absolute platform. It has nothing to do with the relative dualities of the material world. So you should take up the mission immediately. And in the end, Srila Prabhupada was convinced. He was defeated. And as he remarked later, he was happy that he was defeated. But before then, Srila Prabhupada said, he had never been defeated in any argument. This was the first time he was defeated. And he was defeated by his spiritual master. And he was glad to have been defeated by him. But because he was newly married, he was unable to take up the order immediately. But he always kept the order within his heart and waited for the time, or prayed for the time, when he would be able to execute it. And that is the principle, that if we receive an order from the spiritual master and circumstantially are unable to execute it for whatever reason, we keep the order within our heart and await the moment or pray for the opportunity when we can take it up. I had an experience with Srila Prabhupada when we were with him in Gorakhpur in 1971. By the way, it was in Gorakhpur in 1971 at Sri Krishna Niketan, which had been the personal residence of Sri Hanuman Prasad Poddar, who was the founder of the Gita Press. And so he had invited Srila Prabhupada to visit him, and he offered Srila Prabhupada and his disciple Sri Krishna Niketan, which is a very large, stately mansion, surrounded by extensive grounds and agricultural fields. So it was there that Srila Prabhupada had us construct like a little temporary altar for his deities, whom he called Radha Madhava, the same small brass Radha Madhava deities. And it was there in Gorakhpur that Srila Prabhupada first sang the song Jai Radha Madhava and taught us the words. But in any case, also there in Gorakhpur, Srila Prabhupada received a copy of Back to Godhead magazine that included an article that I had written in Boston before I came to India. I joined the temple in Boston, and Satsvarupa Das, Adhikari then, was the temple president and also the editor of Back to Godhead. So he encouraged devotees to contribute articles, and I wrote an article about Guru. And it took time to write, and he helped me. And it also took about 4 months between when the article was submitted and published. So that issue of Back to Godhead came to Srila Prabhupada in Gorakhpur. So one afternoon, his secretary came and told me Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. And I was really quite a new devotee. I wasn't like one of the leaders or managers or part of the intimate circle of Prabhupada's senior devotees. And I didn't know what it was, but I went. And Srila Prabhupada said, "I have read your article in Back to Godhead. It is very nice. You should write. You should take writing as your main business." So I heard it with attention. And then he said, "And if you like, you can travel with me and I will teach you how to write." So the whole thing was sort of beyond my comprehension. I was like so covered and so new. But it sounded, I didn't even know if it was a good idea or not, but I figured out that if Prabhupada had asked anyone else, they would definitely say yes. So I thought, you know, I'm not going to be the fool that says no. So I said yes. And I was, although I didn't know what it meant, but I was looking forward to it. So I bought my lined writing paper and my pens and pencils to be prepared to start writing. And then one of Srila Prabhupada's other disciples, Hansaduta Das, Adhikari then, he wanted to begin his world Sankirtan party. And he wanted me to be on his party. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said yes. So I thought, but wait a minute. Prabhupada said I could travel with him. But then I considered, well, you know, Hansaduta is one of the leaders, and Prabhupada wanted to encourage him, so he said I could go with him. So we went to two cities only, Agra and Aligarh, and then we got a telegram from Srila Prabhupada. Hansaduta got a telegram saying, "Come to Bombay immediately." Yes, Major Pandal program in Bombay. Come immediately. So we cut short our tour and came to Bombay. And at the time, Shamsundar Prabhu was the temple president. And he was a very dynamic preacher and organizer and visionary. And he really was the one who caught up the idea of the Pandal program and how to do it in a big way. So every morning he would meet with all the devotees. There weren't very many of us. at the time and go over the services for the day. And different devotees were in charge of different departments. Gurudas Prabhu was in charge of like public relations, getting permits. Rishi Kumar Prabhu was the treasurer. Yamuna Devi was the head pujari. And like that, different devotees were assigned different duties. And he wanted me to collect. So I said, Shamsundar Prabhu, when I was in Gorakhpur, Srila Prabhupada said that I should write, that my main business was writing. And Shamsundar Prabhu replied, you can write anytime, but this is a special occasion. This is one time we can walk into any man's office in Bombay and ask him to give an advertisement for our souvenir. So you should help raise the funds for the pandal, and then after that you can write. So I thought about it. I thought two things. One is what he said actually made sense, that if it's a special occasion, we can just walk into anyone's office. Maybe we should take advantage of the circumstances. And the other thing is that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate with our authorities. And he was my authority, so I thought, well, given these two factors, I should agree. So I agreed. And, you know, we put on the pandal. It was a great success. And as many of you may know,